Okay, Rav Ossi. I'd like to begin by thanking Rabbi Orlian for inviting me to share in Yonim from Mikvaos together with the Tzibur here. Bez Hashem will have the shir today and Bez Hashem next Thursday at the same time. I'd also like to welcome Rav Nachum Rosenberg from Williamsburg, who is very graciously lending us of his time and expertise in Mikvaos. He's one of a major individual in Mikvaos today all around the world. And Mikvaos is something that if you're dedicated to Mikvaos, you have to be an international traveler. So he's an international expert in Mikvaos, also an international traveler to visit Mikvaos all over the world. And he agreed to come here to accompany us during the shir. So, Mikvaos is something that I originally learned in the Kol Elyon here in the 80s, when the old Grus Kol Elyon of Khan, and it was something that I always put effort into. You're calling already, you see? Rabbi Rosenberg happens to be one of the fellows. I have a lot of friends from all over, but from the library, I have friends that I meet in the library. Because the library is the international place where many Torah scholars come from all over. So one of the fortunate things that I have of spending many hours in the library is meeting many different Torah personalities from all over who come to the library. I think it's the best PR for YU that there is, but... Okay, so Bez Hashem, together with Rabbi Rosenberg, we're going to present Bez Hashem today and next week with Siyata Deshmaya in Yonim from Mikvaos at Nogeya Lemaisa. Okay, so take a look in the packet. The first page, the Pasuk in Shmini. Pasuk in Shmini is the mekor for mikvos in the Torah. The Torah tells us, "Ach mayin uvor mikve mayim yator, v'noger b'nivlosom yitma." So the pasuk speaks about two types of things: a mayon and a bor mikve mayim. A mayon is water from underneath the ground. The water that you dig from underneath the ground, and there's water, that is the mayon. Then, that's one type of matahir, is a mayon. And the other type is vor mikveh mayim, is that you have a ditch, and then it rains. It rains min hashamayim, and there's mei geshamim. And the mei geshamim come min hashamayim, and that's also a matahir. So there are two sources of where you can get the water from, either Mei Geshamim or Mei Mayim. And we'll see that the halachas are different from these two different types of sources of water. Now, you have to realize, it's interesting, you learn Chumash with Rashi, so the Pasuk Pshat, Rashi has two Pshatim in what this Pasuk means. The first pshat Rashi has, ach mayin bor mikveh mayim, yetar means, I have a sheretz, say, and it falls on my apple. So now my apple becomes tummy. But what if it falls into the water? So the pasuk is telling you that the mayin bor mikveh mayim, yetar, that it's not susceptible to be mekabel tuma. That the mayin, if you have a mayin, I have the water from underneath the ground, or if I have a mikvah and something of tumah touches it, the mayan is tahar. It won't become tummy. The water won't become tummy. That's the first pshat. For all yesh l'chalil mod, says Rashi, yetar hatovel behemi tumasum. The second pshat, and that's the source of mikvos, is that not only referring to that the water is tor, but the water is a matahir. That if you have an individual who is tameh, and he what? goes in to the water, he becomes, or he or she become tahor. And that is the source of mikvos. This pasuk, ach mayin uvor mikveh mayin yator. And again, the yator, the first pshat in Rashi is the water is tahor. The second pshat is the water is metayer, the gavra. But that's the source of this halacha. Now, we know bizman hazeh, the two main reasons we use mikvos are for hilchas nida, for a woman who's a nida, will only become tahor when she goes into a mikvah, and again, or and the other thing that we use today is for kelim, is a kelim mikvah. When you buy kelim min hagoy, so then you buy kelim min hagoy, you can't use it until you put it in the mikvah. And again, the two ways you can get the water. Either you can get the water from underneath the ground, from the Mayan water, or you can get mikveh water from the Mei Geshamim. Now, there's another concept that, you know, what people call a men's mikveh, which means like this. We normally assume that any water that comes, tap water, from the faucet, Bizman HaZeh, we assume that's Mayim Shu'uv. That's according to almost every opinion. There's a Gedulei Tara that might argue on that, but that's the normative psak, is that tap water is Mayim Shu'uvim. Mayim Shu'uvim means that whenever you had water that was in a receptacle, in a kli, so that water no longer could be used for a mikvah because it's shuvim, and shuvim is not metayer. What we have to do when we get the mei mayin or the mei geshamim, we have to get it to the place where we want to be tovel without it going into any type of kli, which we'll speak to Rabbi Rosenberg. He'll discuss with us how that's done. But that's the kunz. In other words, theoretically, you could just dig a ditch in your backyard, and it'll be a big ditch, and have a 40 saw, and you wait till it rains, and that will till fill it up. But you see, the thing is like this. But mayim shuvim, if you just open up the faucet and take water. Take water out from the faucet, that's Mayim Shu'uvim, and that's a puzzle for Tevilah, puzzle for Anida, puzzle for Kelim. What's known in the world as the men's mikvah is a mikvah, which is in the ground, but it was filled up just with Mayim Shu'uvim. And that's for concepts of Takonis Ezra, that those are choshesh, that a person who's a balkeri, a person who had an emission, can't daven, can't say brachas without going to the mikvah. So Ezra was only didn't require a regular mikvah, but in the Gemara and brachas, even mayim shuvim would be good. Happens to be that when men come to the mikvah on Erev Rosh Hashanah or Erev Yom Kippur, many use a mikveh that would be good with real mei geshamim, that would be good for a woman as well. I remember Rabbi Willig, when I was in the shir, said Rav Soloveitchik, that Rav Soloveitchik told people that they should go into a regular kosher mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur. Because mayim shuvim for the Takonis Ezra is what? It's not a metahir, it's just a matir for the tefillah. But there's no tara going on. And from Yom Kippur, lefnei Hashem titaru, we want to have real tara. So most people who go to mikvos today, even the men, on Erev Yom Kippur, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur, go into a mikveh that would be really a kosher mikveh. But some men who go to the mikveh on a daily basis aren't always necessarily going into a kosher mikveh, will be going into mayim shuvim just for the heter of tefillah. But don't make a mistake. Don't make a mistake to think that a kelim mikveh is the same as a men's mikvah. You think, you know, men's mikvah, kelim mikvah. A kelim mikvah has the same halachas as a mayim shehanida tovelis b'hem. Mayim shehanida tovelis b'hem. And that you'll see here on page 3 in the pasuk in Matos. Kol dovah sheyovo be'esh tovir be'esh v'tayr. Ach b'mei nida yischato. Ach b'mei. This is talking about kelim. So says the Gemara here on the next page, on page 4, Ayin Hayimid Beis. Came out from the Lord and may neither Mayim Shanida Tovelus Behem. Havi Omer Arboim So. In other words, it has to be the same standard as Mayim Shanida Tovelus Behem. So it has to be regular May Geshomim or May Mayim for a Kalim Mikvah. The reason, now, you see, when we build, we'll discuss this at greater length, just as a preliminary introduction, that, you know, when a person goes to the mikveh, so they go, you're supposed to go and make geshamim. But imagine you make a mikveh of make geshamim, okay? So one woman comes in, two women come in, three men. After 5, 6 women, 10 women, it's going to be dirty. So women are going to complain. They're not gonna be happy. So what we do is, we take, and we'll discuss, there are a lot of details about this, but basically, on a very superficial level, what we do is we're going to have the concept of hashaka, meaning, because really, all you have to do is have this ditch in the ground, let it fill up from Mei Geshomim, and have a woman, a Kaylee, come in, right? But what's going to happen is, after a while, it's going to get dirty. So then, what are you going to do? You're going to take it out. And then, what, you have to daven Mashiv HaRuch Meir HaGoshen with a lot of kavana, so you get another 40 saw, right? It's not going to happen. So what we do is like this. We take... I mean, again, this is a superficial presentation for now. Is what we have, what's called Mayim Shuvim, tap water, and we have that come in on one side, and then we have Mei Hishamim on the other side. And when the woman goes into the mikvah, she's going in the Mayim Shuvim. So how can you go Mayim Shuvim? We said Mayim Shuvim is possible. So the answer is that we do a hashaka. In other words, we have a hole, say, in the wall, and the waters meet. And that makes the Mayim Shuvim like Mei Geshom. So then, what we do is, at the end of the day, we can suction out, we can plug up the hole, suction out the Mayim Shuvim, right? And the next day, fill up with what? With new Mayim Shuvim. And then take out the plug. And the waters will touch. And now, it'll be converted again to Mei Geshomim. And then everyone's happy. Now, for a Kalim Mikvah, you need the same thing. But the only difference is the Kalim usually don't complain. So you can get away... with you have the same bore, and even though it's not as cut clean, you'll just have to make shomim, and you'll be tova lakeli and lacha keli and 100 kelim, and they're not going to complain. But the women are going to complain. They're not going to stand for this. It's going to be dirty. So we have the system through hashaka that we go ahead and we have a daily basis. We'll take out them. We'll suction out like a vacuum cleaner. That's going to suction out the mayim shuvim, and then we can always have the fresh supply, clean water, and everyone and shalom al Yisrael. Okay, now there is a concept, as we said, the two types of mikvos. There's a mikvah of Mei Geshomim and a Mayim. Now, the Mishnah tells us in Mikvos that these two Mikvos have different halachas. A mikvah is metaher ba'ashibar. A mikvah is ashibar, meaning still water. The water can't be moving. Still water. The mikvah is metaher ba'ashibar. But a mayim is metaher even bezochel. Even if the water is moving, the water from underneath the ground. That's one difference. The other difference that the Mishnah says is the mikvah is only entire the mem saw. You need 40 saw. What would you say the equivalent in the...
Between, in the metric, it's between 700 and 1,000 liter, and in the our system,
American,
it's between 200 to 260. 264 is the biggest shear.
264.
That's 1,000 liter.
And in the non-metric is...
And it's between
200
and
200 gallon?
200 gallons to 250 gallons. 264 is the biggest shear.
Okay. So that is the Memsah. And the Mayan, the Mishnah says, Matar Bekol Shehu. I mean, the Kol Shehu doesn't mean a Kol Shehu. Kol Shehu means as big as you need to get whatever you're being Tovel in. Now, many Rishonim say that the Kol Shehu is only for Kalim. But for Adam also needs what? Also needs Memsah for Adam, even by a mayim. Now, there's you can take a look in here. One second. Now you can take a look. There's a famous gra in the beginning of Hilchos Mikvos that wants to say that maybe these two dinim are haba hatalia, because the Gemara wants to say that based on the Rivash that when the water is zochlin, so that's like a katan, it's eno chibur. So an ashboren, he needs, in other words, a main mikvah needs 40 saw. So in order for there to be a tziruf, that's why it has to be stationary. Where a mayan lot is even a kol shehu, so then it could be even zochlin because you don't need the tziruf. That's the Vilna Gaon's the harifas of the Vilna Gaon. Take what page is it on? It's the on page 15. On page 15, the Bechaber says, "Ina yisha olam mitumasa." Feel all well a call me mosha ba olam a daim to mosha acha yisbo call gufo bevasachas. The may mikva o be mayin. Sheishba mem saw. Because we hold that, you know, they both need, even a mayin needs mem saw. And the Vilna Gaon says in the parish here, he says that after all who didn't retire, I revashed the time of the mayin metar bezochlin, much ain't came mikva, which of the katafras ain't no chibur. In other words, he says the chiddush of the rivash is that when you have moving water, that's under the, there's no chibur. So b'meila, if there's no chibur, so b'meila, you're not going to have a shear. So mikvah needs a shear. So b'meila, so it has to be bashmorin to have the shear. But if the water's moving, even though all the water's attached to each other, but if the water's moving, says, so you're not going to have a shear, but mayan doesn't need a shear. So the question you should all be thinking in your head is, the Rav Shimon Shkop has a whole piece on this, is that, but mayan also needs a shear for Adam. So that's the catch of Rav Shimon Shkrop. We're not here to say the lum, but the basic lumdus that he says is that even though Maya needs the shear of Memsah, that's not the Heftza of the Maya. The Heftza is really a kosher. It's just you need the shear for the Maya Tefillah. But in the mikveh, it's a din in the Heftza shel mikveh. So Mamela, if it's Zochel, you won't have a shear. Okay, whatever. So you can look in the Shari Yosha. It's a piece, I think, in the Shari Yosha, the Reb Shimon has this whole, this on this grub. But there's a famous, the famous grub. But the mikveh, as we'll discuss, can't be Zochel. I was just discussing with Rabbi Rosenberg a story that I heard once from Rav Chaim Kalman Klein from Kiryas Yoel, who's also involved in mikvahs, a story that happened in Yerushalayim. That happened was, it was a Friday night tefillah. And some people, the women were going to the mikvah on Friday night. And all of a sudden, they noticed, you know, in other words, after the last woman goes home, so then they, by itself, the suction will suck out the. But they noticed that the Mayim Shuvim part, where the women were going, was decreasing. Was decreasing, and then they noticed that somehow, as Rosenberg said, maybe it was a cat or something. Somebody turned on the switch to have the, so the suction was happening while the women were in the mikveh. So now, ostensibly, it would be a problem of Zochlin, that the women are were going to the mikveh while the water was being sucked out. So it was a lot of, usually you start, oh, you have a lot of water. I mean, and so it still was, but they noticed something was happening. And then all the women dispersed, and it was a Friday night. So as Rabbi Rosenberg was saying, that, you know, they were telling, so basically they had to get the word out on Friday night in Yerushalayim to all the women that went that they have to go back. So Rabbi Rosenberg said at the Tishin on Friday night, they said, well, whoever had a keli that they were toivel, that was a way that they shouldn't be so explicit, that they should go back. And then, I think from Mayor Bransdorfer, they got a goy to go around in all the neighborhoods to go ahead and announce that there was a problem, and that's what they did. Now, as I was speaking with Rabbi Rosenberg before, that it's not so pashut that, you know, there is this discussion usually doesn't come up by the usually more careful, it doesn't happen. But what does happen sometimes, and this Rabbi Willard discussed with me, he got a shaila within a year or two about, you know, they have filters. Mikvos have filters, so usually you don't have the filter on when the person's going and then the water is circulating, so shaila of zechila. But every once in a while, it happens that the woman was going into the mikveh while the filter was on. So this is a big question whether that's called, you know, a problem of zechila. Rav Abadi has a tshuva here. He says Rav Moshe once told him that he thought that if there's a crack in the mikveh, so the water's coming out, that's the real zechila. But here, basically, the zechila was not happening machmas the mikveh itself. It was a dover mibachutz, or a rose, or a dover mibachutz. It was either filtering it out or sucking it out. So as Rav Abadi, we had the tshuvas here in the Or Yitzchak. So that's not so pashut that that's called a zechila. But lemaisa, they, you know, we try, you know, for sure, lechatchila, as Rabbi Willig was saying, and others, you know, where, you know, some will pass them, maybe even b'dievet, but some lechatchila, not to have these things happening. I mean, there's a question whether, you know, the chumra of the divrei chayim, that zechila is even if water is going into the, say you forgot to turn off, like Rabbi Togmo was saying, you forgot to turn off the faucet, and the water is coming into the mikvah. Is that also called the zechila? So the divrei chayim is known to have the chumra that even water going into the mikvah is called zechila. And others, but that's a question whether that's also called zechila. Now, on a couple of things we have to know. So we discussed again. May Yishamim We discuss Meimayin, we discuss Mayim Shu'uvim for men, we discuss Kehil Mikveh, etc. So now we have to realize another thing. We Paskin, take a look on page 17, based on the Mishnah in Resh Aleph Hey. Kol Hayomim Yesh Lahem Din Mayim. So, in other words, what's a classic example of a Mayim is an ocean. Right? An ocean is a din of a Mayim. Every once in a while this happens with, I get a shaila from a newly married couple that after the chasana they were going away and she was supposed to be tovel before, but it didn't work out. She didn't get a good bedeen. So mela, they're on their vacation in the middle of who knows. And so usually you have some mikvah, chabad, we'll discuss chabad mikvahs either today or next week. But every once in a while, I get these shadows from some island and this or some place that there's no mikvah. And, you know, it's a young couple and they're on vacation and it's a very difficult situation. So they go to have to go to an ocean because and that's this din of kol hayomim yesh lahem din mayin v'tayar b'schila. That's the din of the yom. So that's the din of an ocean. Then we have a concept of a river. Now a river is a machlokis in the Gemara. What's the story of a river? Because a river is flowing. So the question by a river is, well, what is a river? If a river is a mikvah, then it would be no good. If a river is a mayan, then it would be fine. So the Gemara, in the famous Gemara Nedarim, on Daf Mem, etc., discusses that different times of the year. That you have different times of the year. So the Gemara discusses that if you're in a time of year, the rainy season, so that means that most of the quantity in the river is going to be rainwater. And therefore, if it's going to be what? If it's going to be a river, then it's rainwater, that's going to be pasul. Because why? Because it's zochel, and it's megishamim, and therefore, but it's not bashborn. So it's going to be possible. But in other times of the year, where it will be where you won't have the majority of rainwater, so then the majority will be of mayan. So then it would be okay. So this Gemara is in the Nedarim. What page in the packet here? Someone help me here. What page? Five. Yeah, five and six. So take a look. Damaravin Amar Mitra b'Marava Sada Raba Pras. If you want to know, there's a lot of rain in Eretz Yisrael. So in the Euphrates, in the Pras, Nahar Pras, if there's a lot of water there, you know that water was rainwater that came from rain from Eretz Yisrael, and it'll be a problem. Upliga de Shmuel, and Shmuel says no. Even if there's a lot of rainwater, there's still a heter. And the Ran here quotes the Gemara in Tainus. In other words, he says that for every tipa of mayim that comes in, Shmuel's opinion, that generates water from underneath to come out. So even though you have a lot of rainwater, you can still always have more Mayan water, and it'll be okay even in the rainy season. So if you take a look in Shulchan Aruch, we can take a look in Shulchan Aruch, and when it discusses here, take a look. The page 17. Yeah. So first he starts off with the You know, he has the kol hayomim. In other words, that was the din of on the top there. Yeah, we have the Ramah, we have the page before that also here. Yeah, here we go, page 16. May mayin matar enough bezochlin. So may mayin is matar even bezochlin. May gshomim may matar en el bashborin. But hayu hazochlin min amayin misarvin and notzvim she may gshomim. That's the case of the river. Where it's, so then you have to see which is rove. Im rabu hanotvim al hazochlin, im rabu may gshomim ena matar en bezochlin, el bashborin. So if it's at the time of the year that there's more megishamim and the river is flowing, so it's so the only way it'll be good is if you take a mapatz. In other words, you make mechitzas around it, so it's in one. There's no zechila, but if not, then it's going to be pasul. And the Ramah says that chen nochon laharos ulahachmir. Aval yesh matirin. So then he quotes the Mekel Shita, who follows that opinion in the Gemara, that says that even if there's a rainy season, but that it's only going to cause more May Mayan to come up, and you'll always win. You'll always win with the May Mayan, even though there's more Geshamim there, but that just causes May Mayan to come, and then the river will be good in all seasons. So he says, V'rabu adotel azokim shum d'ikra godo hanarhu mokum makoro v'chei nogu b'rov makomos mokum she'en mikva v'ein limchos b'yad hanogim l'hokel ki yesh lehem amal yisei smochu. So they have what to rely on to that other opinion in the Gemara. Okay, so that's the discussion, the rivers. Now, some mikvos are made, in other words, some mikvos are made with rainwater, some mikvos are made with Mayan water, that they pump the water from underneath the ground. I remember when I learned mikvos years ago, I visited the Passaic mikvah, so that mikvah was made from water underneath the ground. But it wouldn't have a din of Mayan, even though it's Mayan water, because it's already nifsuk from the mine. It was just pumped up, but they use it more, some consider it more heder to use that water, so because that water technically is not she'uvim, and therefore even if something goes wrong with the hashaka, they still have a backup, etc. So some, I remember Rabbi Heshi Hirth told me, he was involved in building the mikveh in Passaic. He said that they dug and they didn't get water, and then they asked the Rosh Hashiva what to do, and he was about to start his shir, and he said, keep digging, and then he finished the shir, and they still didn't find. And he said, keep digging, and then they daven mincha, and then finally they hit the water. And some, you know, use megishamim. And then we have to discuss lakes as well, because that comes up as well. So I'm going to give the floor a little to Rabbi Rosenberg to give some discussions about rivers and lakes. And then, Bezer Shah, I don't know if we'll have time today, we have to discuss how different mikvos are made in terms of Hashaka, Zriya, or Agabe Bor. These things that are coming attractions and what's called. But just to know the basics with mikvah and amayin and the different ideas of Naharos and different experiences that he's encountered. So I'm going to give the floor to Rabbi Rosenberg. You can take your tape. Oh, okay. See, the old days, tape recordings. Yeah, Chazei Shemeinu Kekedu.
I'm still from before the war.
Before the war.
Anyway, I would like to utilize today's shiur to give you a briefing on the water system of the world and how it goes into mikvahs and, you know, the halachas. And then at the end of this year, I'll discuss 5 minutes. Every halachic thing has a certain problem at a certain stage. What is our real, real problems in mikvahs today? It's a 5-minute discussion. I have pictures to explain it. And next week, Bezras Hashem, I will give you the differences and all the shittas of mikvahs that we have. I will draw them on the board. So let us start first. Today's Parshas Barashas, we're learning Barashas. And it says here that the first day Hashem created the world. Now, the Chazal teaches us that Hashem created 10 things. One of the two things that he created then was also the Shemaim, V'uretz, Rei, V'voi, Oir, V'choi, Shechriach, Imayim, Midasayor, V'midasalayim. So, in other words, Mayim was created the first day. The second day, Hashem said, Yikuvi Amayim, he split the waters. Mayim Elyonim and Mayim Tachtoinim. The earth was still saturated and sunk in into the water. On the third day, Hashem said, there should be a Yabusha. That's when it came out, the earth, from the water. Now, the Arachaim HaKudish and also the Pirkei Der Blazer explain there's something called Mai Tohoim. That's the first thing we're going to talk about today. It's called Mai Tohoim. What that means is that in the earth, there was a certain amount of water that was still saturated from the elevation of the earth above the water, and that is called Mai Tohoim. If you look in two places, the Arachaim HaKudosh this week in Bereishis, and also it says in the Aseres HaDibros, Amayim Asher Mitachas L'uretz, so he explains what Mai Tohoim is. The Mai Tohoim has never left the earth. Then, in the earth, we have another thing. You see, if the earth was like a sponge that you have in your house, then it would take in all the water equally at the same time. But the earth doesn't work that way. It has hard rock, it has bedrock, it has soil. And therefore, in the earth, there are different kinds of levels of water the whole time. Now, when Hashem said that we should make the yam, then what happened was that a certain place became hollow, and that's where the yam is. The yam water and the Mai Tohoim is different in halucha. And then we're going to come to the other things. But first let's talk about, there are basically four things. It's Mai Tohoim, Yam, Nuhar, and Maya. So we want to talk about these different waters. Now, in the earth, if you look in the Arachaim HaKudosh and you look into the Medrushim, there are holes under the water, you know, the water plateau. There are holes there. And all the waters come back to the tributaries, to the feed rivers, they feed lakes, they feed everything. The earth, the water of the earth, is a constant flow the whole time. How? We have the sun that shines on the earth. So the vapor goes up, it goes up to a certain point where you see the clouds. And then when Hashem wants, he makes it to rain. It fills up everything. It fills up Mayunas, Nahuras, it fills up everything. It even fills up the Atlantic Ocean. But because the ocean is very big, and Hashem made the Gevil Sam to Lehem Bal Yavoid, and it shouldn't get too high, it stays there. So under the earth, the tributaries, again, replenish water all over. So, it's interesting to say, we find we were doing Nisach HaMayim to the Mai Tohoim, right? We just went through this sukkah. We don't find any place that we toiv l'mai tohoim. So I found an interesting thing. We have now what we do in modern mikvahs. We dig what the rabbi just mentioned. It's called an artesian well. Anybody that lives out of town in Muncie, all over, every house has it. What they do is they start digging. There could be maybe 50 feet or 70 feet of earth. And after that you hit what they call bedrock, which is a lot of layers of rock, and the water flows through there. And the minute you make a hole in it, the water starts to come up, and if you can cast around the earth, it shouldn't fall in. We cast it usually with plastic, so there'll be no chashash of makabel tuma. And then we blow in air. Air is lighter than the water, so what happens is that as the air comes up, it forces along water to come with it. Now, we find sometimes wells, artesian wells, that give 100 gallons a minute, and we find some that give 1,000 gallons a minute. So we control it, though, because we are not really pumping only the amount of air that we need water. In other words, let's say 5-pound pressure, it's called PSI, that gives us, from this well, 100 gallons per minute. That's all we need. So it's an interesting thing. In the time when they invented this, goes back about 150 years ago, There was one Acheron. All the Acheronim said it's kosher, it's 100% good, and like the rabbi mentioned, it has a milah that it's not made Yishumim. I mean, it's not made Sheuvim, so you don't have a problem with Nusasu, Venutusu from the Raivet. And it's also much cleaner. The water is much cleaner than city water because it just didn't hit the earth, all the germs and everything. So this is all Madre Mikvahs today, Bezer Sashem, we build that way. There is one Achron, a big poisik, his name was the Bais Sheurim. He was a very, very big rabbi in Hungary. He made Shalos Achivas Bais Sheurim. He writes in three different places to three different rabbonim, I beg of you, don't use it because it's my tohoin, and we don't find any place in the Chazal nor in Chumash that you're allowed to be toivel in my tohoin. So Amoyre Dikazach, he writes it in three different places.
So all the water underneath the rock.
That's my tohoim. So that now...
And the main mayan is only the
so
water.
So now we're going to start making a question, where does the my tohoim start? Right. Now, if you want to become technical about it, the Gemara says in Masechtas Chagiga that it's Alpha Gadma, that it's 1,000 feet or whatever deep. So we don't have to go down 1,000 feet. But the question is, does Rashi mean Alpha Gadma, precise Dafya 1,000? Or Rashi is just saying that when you go in deep enough, you're going to find what they call Maiton. So that's the first thing that we're going to talk about.
So everyone agrees that Maitohim is possible. The question is, where is it?
No. He is the only one. If everybody would agree, then when this came out, this invention, this would have been the biggest invention. So why was there, why was the Bais Sheurim?
The Machloikis is if Maitohim is kosher, or the Machloikis is in Metzius, what's Maitohim?
No, the Machloikis is if Maitohim is kosher. I'm just using a different Rashi, which he doesn't quote.
So let's just define for them the Maitohim versus Maimayim.
What?
Just define clear for them.
Okay, I'll define. Well, the Maimayan is the second thing. We have wells. In the same time that we have this Maitohom, and now we're having wells. Wells is something that the water, just as constantly the water goes up in the evaporation and it rains down, so all the wells, everything gets full of water. Where does it travel? It travels between the rocks. We call it bedrock. It's like a bed, one rock on top of the other. If you break it, you can see where it has. It's not like a solid rock because water couldn't travel through solid rock. So between the layers, it travels. Now, that's called my Maya. Now, to know exactly the difference between my Tohoim and my Mayan, basically there is very little that we can make a difference. How do we know it's Maimayan? We know Maimayan. First of all, let me get to a machloikis. There's a big machloikis. Every water that you find, is it Maimayan or is it my tamtsis? My tamtsis means that every time it rains, the earth gets saturated. It takes a few days until the water runs down into the earth. In certain places, it takes longer because there's bedrock or something, you know, on the bottom. So if you dig and you find water, it could be it's maitamtsis. Maitamtsis means regular rainwater. So now if you're going to find a well, how are you going to differentiate whether this is maitamtsis or it's well water? You don't know the difference. So there's a big machloikis. The Marik says that any place you find water, it's my tohoim. I mean, it's my maya. You can use it. The Marik says it's okay. Nuch de Medu, two very big doilach rishonim, and they claim that in some we are afraid that it's not more than my tamtsis, and therefore you're not allowed to use any kind of wells. They're putting in a question mark on every well that you use.
I mean, you have to treat it like Megashom.
Yeah, you have to treat it like Megashom.
I mean, you can use it, but you have correct. To use it like with the chumras of Megashom, that it has to be
Bashom. So now, the Gedoy Lachroinim didn't take this with, you know, laying down just like that, because it says, Ach Mayan Ibor Mikri Yitur. We know for a fact that the Torah says Mayan is more Choshev than all the other ones. A well is more Choshev. We also know that there's an interesting Bach, which the Bach says, we all the kehillas always used to be moise nefesh to toivel only in amayim. So the Bach says why? So the Bach says because the first of all there's a shittas Rashi. Rashi brings his Rebbe three times. Rashi brings his Rebbe in a durim in a Shabbos, and in another place he brings his Rebbe that the reason why you need a well is because a isha nida needs a well. She doesn't become pure only in a mayim. So Rashi, in two times in Shas, he says, my Rebbe says so, but I argue with him because the Mishnah says, Choymer Azov mi bezuve, Shazov tu amayim chayim, Vazuve aynet in amayim chayim. Azov, it says, betuvel, he has to toivel b'mayim chayim. Azuve does not need mayim chayim.
So Rashi, chayim is this, the will.
So Rashi, in two places in Shas, he argues with the Rebbe. There is a third place in Shas, and that's where Shmuel made mikvahs for his daughters. Over there, Rashi brings again his Rebbe, Rabbi Yalaivi, and he says, because you need, Azuva needs Maim Chaim. And over there, Rashi does not argue with his Rebbe. For some reason, he doesn't put again his argument. Zugderbach, it looks like that Rashi held as Enuchanam in a Torah, Dafne Shumayim Chaim, other Midrabunim, Dafne Yahub Maim Chaim. In other words, Midrabunim, you need Maim Chaim for a Isha Nida. Nida Zuva, today they're all Sufik Zivas anyway. So you would need Maim Chaim. He says that's why we were Moise Nefesh, all of our Kehillas, all these years, for Yiddishkeit, to make for a Isha Dafke Amai Mayom, a well one. So this is certain achroinim hold that your mamish it's mandatory. So here the marik holds that every place you find water is good. So the achroinim couldn't take the other ishoinim that claim that we're afraid that all these waters that we see are not more than my tamtzes. So they're giving certain simonim how you can realize it. Simon number one is that when you dig it, when you dig, the water comes up upward, not sideways. You see, if it's sideways, you break a stone, what happens is it flows through and it fills up the hole that you dug. But if it goes upwards, that means that it's a well going upwards. The second simon that they give, if it's mibayin hasluin, which means you don't find it in earth, you find it in a stone. It's in a rock. It has to be my mind because the rainwater didn't get in there. So in other words, when you're digging, you're finding the well water. The third simon, the Siddi Gedila Tahara brings the simon. He brings a very easy simon. You take a cup of water, you put mercury, you take a cup from the well, and you take a cup from regular water, you put in a drop of mercury, and you'll see that because well water has a lot of chemicals, it has a lot of minerals, therefore it'll take much longer for it to fall down. And this is something we can test, it's very easy. Now, today we're up to modern science. Whenever I dig a well, I take a cup of water and I go into a laboratory. They have water laboratories in Ukraine and other places, they have it in hospitals, they do that. And they tell you exactly the contents of how many minerals it has. And 90% they can even tell me how deep I dug to find this water. How do they know it? Because how does the water get minerals? Because it rubs on stone. And they know in every city and in every town what kind of layers they have, you know, compounded in the earth. So therefore, they can almost tell you where it's coming from. So today, to go look between the rocks is very hard to look. All these simonim would be very hard to look. The simon that we, you know, go by is to see how many minerals, no, not how many minerals, but whether it has minerals or not. Rainwater doesn't have any minerals because, you know, once it goes up from the sea, then all the minerals are left back. Otherwise, it couldn't be dense enough to go up. So the second thing we talked about now is a well water. So the well is amaya. Amayan, as the rabbi just mentioned, is metayed bezochlen, it's metayed bashboiren, and it has all the milas. You don't need memsu, Yehudim, Tzilekailim, there's a lot of machloikis. Now, in the well itself, there's also a big machloikis in the Rishonim. If it's going not on the place where it went by itself, in other words, if you rerouted the well, if it loses the din from Mayim. So the Sach Rishonim is a halting that once you touch the well, you fiddle with it, then you're finished. In other words, the well would only be kosher if you dig into it. All the Achronim explain, even though you dig in, doesn't mean that you touch the well. It's not considered Tavai Al Yedayudam, because basically what you did, you just uncovered it. But once you start, it comes up high enough and you start rerouting it, that's when it loses Bechlal the din from the well.
Right, so a lot of the wells, they just pump it up. They dig and then they have a pump to
Not only that, but what happens is as time goes by, the well starts to run and somebody else picks it up and he wants to make a mikvah over there,
right,
which would be a big problem.
But a lot of the mikvahs that they use, the Meimayin, right, are already nifsak from...
Right, but we're not talking about the artesian. We're going to come right to that in a minute.
But the people who still want those mikvahs...
Right, just because it's not shuvim, it's arrived for nusus suvanutus, so this way.
Right, this way. Right. In other words, because it could be meikar adin. Usually when we do hashaka, we use the mayim shuvim from the tap water, and then we do hashaka. But you know, there could always be a problem with the hashaka. We could forget to do the hashaka. So some people want this chumrah of having the mayim, even though technically it's not a mayim anymore, because it was already. Suctioned up, so it doesn't it has the water of Mayan, but it doesn't have a halachic status of Mayan, but it will still do a shaka, will still treat it like Mayim Shuvim, even though technically it's not Mayim Shuvim because it never came into a kli, but we'll give it that status. So even though Mikra Adin, it could be it has the status of, you know, real. It's real mayim that you could be tovel in, but we'll treat that as keilu, it's the mayim shuvim, and do hashaka to that. So that hashaka maybe is not really necessary because it's not, because most of the time that we're using the mayim, it's not halachically mayim anymore. It's just mayim that already is nifsak. It's already detached from the mayim because we don't dig that deep into the mayim. We dig and then we get it pumped up. To where we're going to be, tovel. I mean, the advantage.
Shita saraivet of nusus.
We're going to talk about that next week. In other words, because technically maybe this is not mayim shuvim. So
even though it's not mayim, but it's not shuvim.
Right.
Correct.
Right. So even though we're going to treat it like shuvim, we'll do a hashaka to it. But if something went wrong with the hashaka or something like that, at least we know this water probably was good even without the hashaka. So that's why that community, like say in Passaic and other communities, that they do it. Sometimes where would be a community that they actually got to the Mayan and their toivel in the Mayan without tampering with the...
Well, we have three in the Gantz places we know. We have one in Pupa in Williamsburg. It's a Mayan.
It's a real Mayan. In other words, it's not... They're total in the Mayan. They didn't...
Yeah, no, I will explain to you how it works. Just give me a few minutes and we'll get to that. And the other one is a new square. And these are the third one is in Richmond, Virginia, but I don't know if it's used now. There was a Mayan over there for years. I went to visit it. But anyway... So now, let me just...
And how many would you say have pumped up Meimayan from around...
Kemat, every new mikveh. I built maybe 70 mikvehs in Ukraine. I don't use city water, only this kind of water.
But in the tri-state area, those that are not going to...
Every mikveh is done like that.
First of all, it's
economical also. You never have to pay water. Now they're going to hit all the non-profits with water tax. It's very economic. It doesn't cost you anything. Once you did it, it's yours for the rest, for eternity. And I want... You want to hear something?
It's pumped up from the mine. Who's in the mine?
Well, it's right. Mine Shenifsik. It's not anymore a mine. I just want to tell you, you're saying why we use it. I had a story in Uman, maybe 8-9 years ago, I built them the mikvahs. And there's no water there because they divert the water for factories all day. So how can you fill up the mikveh? And I also have day one women mikvah. We have five regular mikvahs for men and one for women. So there was a woman. No, because it's a community.
Community. For
it's a community. There's a minyan there. They learn there. There's a koil there all year. So what happened was that it was mamish when I finished it, and it was erev yontev, and I wasn't able to fill it up with rainwater. So what I did is I filled it up, you know, with this artesian well with pumping down water. By the way, it's not a pump because a pump would make it shuvim. We blow down air and it brings up the water. So a woman comes, Motzei Yontov, he says, the Hasidim davened here so long, I don't know, I can't go now to Kiev, it's already 9:30, I get to Kiev 3 in the morning and it's going to be closed. She says, maybe I can use the mikveh. I said to her like this, you can go in, you can see, it's very dirty because so many people, thousands of people used it. But if it's good for you, it's kosher. I didn't have megishumim, I only had an artesian well, which filled up the boiters and the mikveh. So she went in and she started to cry, Rebbe, well, I'd love to go here. I don't want to wait till tomorrow. He said, fine. We closed down the place. We let her go. Later on, the Rabbonim asked me, how did you do this? I mean, there's no Megishumim. So I told him like this. He says, do the Chassam Sofer had a son-in-law. He was the Ruf in Vienna. Not now. This goes back 70, 80 years ago. And they had there, and I still have pictures of it, they had there a small compressor which also blew down some air, and it was used the whole time, 40, 50 years, until mamish, until the war. I saw it not being used, and they used this without any hashuka. This alone was sufficient enough to be called kosher. The Satmar Rebbe brings it in his chivas. That's why the Satmar Rebbe wanted very much always to make this, even though he used Ashuka, but he wanted that it should be a kosher mikveh.
And even without Ashuka?
Even without Ashuka.
So the Ashuka was just l'chumra.
Yeah. And then Payeruf, one of the old rabbis who's not alive anymore, told me that when he was a big Talmud Chucham, and he told me that the Satmar Rebbe made this artesian well, he asked him, so why do you need Ashuka? It's a waste of money and time to make boilers. But Rebbe told him, because I don't know how dry the mikveh will be. Which means that theoretically, mikvehs become older, and between the tiles they gather some water. So if you put in, even if you put in rainwater, or if you put in maimayim, it makes no difference. Once there is gimel lugim b'tchila, then the whole mikveh becomes possible.
And if there's gimel lugim of maim shuvim, see, the halacha is like this. Once you have maim shuvim, once you have memsah of megashamim, then you have your mikveh, then you could take 1,000 saw of maim shuvim, and it's all okay. But that's only once you have your initial mikveh. But if before the memsah are filled up, there's gimelugim of maim shuvim get in before, that will pass your mikveh. But once you have your memsah, then you can have 1,000 shuvim come on top of it.
See, so that's why he wants a hashuka, that in case, God forbid, there was gimel lugim, which he didn't dry out, because let's say it's between the walls or anything, which you can't see, then he has a hashuka. So my mikveh worked that I first filled up the boiras for megishomim with this maimayim, which is artesian well. And from there, I made a hashuka the whole yontem. So if this woman wanted to use it, she has a mikveh, which says hashuka, it's your maimayim. You get the picture? No? Can I draw it on the
board?
Yeah,
sure. Yeah.
I had the mikveh. This is my mikveh. This is my bar of megashumim, but it wasn't filled with megashumim. It was filled with artesian well water. And I had ashuka here. So what am I afraid? That over here, maybe there were gimelugim betchila, correct? But I had ashuka. But not to megashumim, I had it to well water. That water is just as kosher to be metayer this mikveh from shuvim, just as if you would have your megashumim. To me, it's no difference if I have megashumim, or if in here, or if I
and
have.
And what do you have in this side?
My mind.
On the right side, you had what?
Well, it filled up from here, it filled up with the same thing, but I'm afraid, let's say there were gimelug in here, maybe the walls contained a little water, so what do I care? I don't care. In other words, to fill up the hashuka, you can fill it up with rainwater, and you can fill it up with maimayim.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about rivers,
okay,
lakes.
Now,
lakes.
Yeah. Okay, now we're going to go into... Every river starts off with a mayim. The Gemara Masechtas Ebaitze tells us, Kerag leham amale, freg the Gemara, mamar gelernt, the rivers, dort and everything. So Rashi explains there in Masechtas Baitze, I think it's Lamed Gimel, Lamed Dalet, Rashi explains that every river starts off with a mayim. A mayim overflows, it starts to run, it becomes a river. So basically, the whole Zach fin Shmuel, which Shmuel had to build for his daughters, and Shmuel holds that it can be in Merubin, not from Alazalchan.
Right, that's the opinion that says that even in the rainy season,
right,
you could still...
The whole machloik is, the whole thing is, only because it's flowing. I'll give you an example. Theoretically, if you would see a Mayan that's flowing under the ground, where no rainwater gets into it, then it's a Mayan. You have no problem with it. Where does the problem start? Because it's exposed to the world, and once it gets exposed to the world, then rainwater runs in over there as well. Now, if you would pump out a big river, you would probably find tributaries depositing water from under the ground or from the sides. And that's the Shmuel that he's talking about. When the rainwater comes down, and the water comes up, and they meet each other, because when Hashem split the two waters, they were both crying, so they're trying to meet. So when they come down, the water comes up. Sometimes you would find a river that you don't have any deposits from wells. It's mamish, it's a river that has no deposits. So it's mamish just either a well water that overflowed or maigishumim that's overflowing. So the problem that starts with the river is because it's exposed to the world. Once it's exposed to the world, then you don't know what is the contents of the water. Is it tributaries feeding it from the bottom, or is it just from the top of the rainwater? Now, Lamaisa, we pasken, as the Ramul paskens, Kedai Shiloh Levatel Benoisi Siruel Mepriyevi, we're allowed to use all the rivers.
Right, that's what we saw.
I myself made in Spain, I made a mikra. But it takes about 9-10 months to make a mikra, you know, from the beginning to kosher. I had there two choices. One, they have a river. No, one, they had the big yam, you know, the Mediterranean Sea. The other one is that they had over there a river, and that river came from a mayim, from under the earth. So I had a problem because the Ramu says that you're allowed to toivel in Anuhar, right? The Ramu says so. It's a Svardishe Kehila. They're old Maron, this Bas Yosef. So how can I give them to toivel in a river? Now, the reason I didn't want them to go into the Mediterranean Sea was because of tzniyas, because it's a regular beachfront, and at night you can't go because you can't see chatzitzas and chafir, you know, the hair. And during the day, it wasn't tzniyasy. So I called up Rabbi Avadia Yosef, and I asked him a question. Is it better to use the river or to use the Mediterranean Sea? So he says, what's wrong with using the Nuhar? I said, because the Remu is the one that paskens you're allowed to if you don't have any other option. But we are Ashkenazim, and the whole Kehil is Svardim.
The Mechaber paskin, that it has to be Rov of...
That's right.
And the Mechaber paskin does Mizan. But Rov Shomim is no good.
So I said, how can I come as an Ashkenaz and make a mikveh for a Kehila, and they're going to use this for 9 months? So Rav Avadia is very short and sweet. He says, Der Marik was a Sfardi. If you take a look at the Ramu, it says, in Chaim Lahogen, it says, the Marik, in Shoyrish Tif Nivu. He says, the Marik was a Sfardi. He's not an Ashkenaz. The Ramu is just Megala, what the Marik holds. But he's not an Ashkenaz. So this took care of that.
Even though it's against Maron.
Yeah.
even if it's against, because the Marik was also a Rishon and he was a Svardi. So the Marik against the Maron, and here it's a B'dieved, he said, yes, go ahead and do it. And we used it maybe 9 months. And so this is the Nuhar. The Nuhar is the problem because it goes out to the outside world. Now, I want to go back for a moment to give you another thing that you should know. In Mayan, not every Mayan is Mayim Chaim. This is something you have to realize. Azov, Mizub, Mayim Chaim. There are three things we need Mayim Chaim. Azov, Metzoyer, and Mayichatas. Right? You can have a well, but it's not Mayim Chaim. It's a well. It's not Mayim Chaim. If you're going to look at the last parik, Vuv, Zayin, Ches, in Pura, Mishnah is Pura, the Mishnah teaches you when a well is considered Mayim Chaim and when it's not considered Mayim Chaim. One of the last things that the Mishnah teaches you, and this is how Masechtas Pura finishes, it says, Rebbe Akiva holds, you have to follow the well. In other words, you have to know where it's coming from. Now, to follow a well is very hard. I had numerous times when I came to Ukraine, and it took us years to build these mikvahs. You know, it just didn't start in one day. So meanwhile, kehillahs were howling, mikvahs, mikvahs, mikvahs. So first of all, we had a very interesting shaila. Do we teach them Hilchas Nida or we don't teach them? If you're going to teach them and you don't have where to send them, so what are you gaining by it? So the Ravais, the Menchus Yitzchak, told me then, you should not teach them until you have the mikveh ready. Said, Mitiv Shai Shogigim Veloi Hai Mazidim. So I asked him, Rebbe, about the Raisa, Zugma Bechnish Mitiv Shai Shogigim, so I have a Ferish Mishnah about Erevim Kippur. So he told me, the Sifri quotes like this, Ma atem, over there in those, the Sifri quotes, Ma atem shogigim, I don't remember the Lushna Sifri, but the Sifri says, but in Yuna Tahara, there are shogig, it's better than there are maizet. And then he told me, Simish Bechlal Angenem, you're going to teach them, they're going to live a few months with their wives like this, and nothing really is happening bad to them, so what's going to, this way, when they didn't know, they didn't know. So he gave me a hoiruah, never teach Hilchas Nida unless you can back it up with the mikra. Now, so there are two different kind of minds, you have to follow them. So one time, I traveled a lot, and I used to use Nahuras. You know, we did teach the people Hilchas Nida, at least in the summer, they were able to go in the Nahuras. So one day, we came to a Nuhar. And in order to find out where this Nuhar is coming from, you have to be very careful because you have to follow it. I remember I grew up in a camp, and they toivled all the kailim from the camp in the lake. When I became older, I went to the municipal, and I saw that the whole lake is rerouted from rainwater. But that's not all. Listen to this. The way they reroute them is, you see these pipes? You can pass it around.
There's a few of them, so the same. Basically, they're all the same.
These pipes are corrugated steel. You can see them in the big highways sometimes. Under the highway, they go. You know, they reroute the water. So I asked an engineer, why do you make it corrugated? What would be wrong if you would make it straight? So he said the corrugation is made because every truck that bounces on the highway and the water is pulling it, so eventually it's going to get pulled out of place from where it's at. So what does that mean? That this whole corrugation is nasa lekabula. See, this is the punchline. If I wouldn't know that, I would say, seloi nasa lekabula. It's not made to hold water. On the contrary, it's made to, if it goes like this, it stops the flow of the water. So it's hepech kavuna. So there wouldn't be anything wrong. But the engineer told me that the outside is corrugated to hold. Sedu ashita saraivet, the Mishnah zog, tachoitet v'tzinner kol shilekabu v'tzeroires possible. If you make a hakik in a tzinner to hold tzeroires, is as possible. In other words, if the rainwater goes through such a pipe, which has a hakik inside, then it's possible. So, the Raivet says, amoyre di kevot, Why is it possible? Because it's Na'aseh LeKabula. Why? So the Ravid says, because in the olden days they used to have those small stones on the roof. It would fall onto the pipe, and the holes, the small hakik is not the holes, but the small indentations, stops the flow of the stones. So at the end of the winter, he doesn't have to go to the floor to pick up the stones. He can pick it up from the tzinner, and he can throw it back on the roof. It's much easier. Zog the Ravid. So we see from here, Amoyre de Kezach. You don't need a baiskibul to hold water. You need a baiskibul even for tzeroires, and it becomes possible. So here we have this tzinner, and it's holding the earth in the bottom, so it shouldn't, you know, slip out. So I went then to Eretz Yisroel, and from the outside, but what this shows you is that the fact that it has inside the baiskibul was made for a reason. So I don't care if the reason is that the outside stops the flow, the pipe from moving. So I went then, Epshlem Zalman Oyerbach was still alive then, and I asked him a question. Here is a kehila, and I have maybe 20, 30 in the light who are willing to start using now a mikra. I can make from this river, I can make, you know, set it up. There's certain setups that you have to do. You have to put, you know, you have to make sure it shouldn't be sand, it should be... We throw a few trucks of rock, you know, small rock, because if it's sand, it gets between the feet and it's a chatzitza before you start it. So there's a system how we do that. So anyway, I told him, I can have it tomorrow done. I can have it tomorrow and they can use the mikra. But I have a problem with the tzinner. I went with the helicopter. I followed the water. We went until we came to a point where I saw where it's being, you know, rerouted with these pipes. I have pictures of it. He says, "Achkenas de nishmatrzam." He wasn't willing to give it a heter. Then I told him, "There's a shitta, the Mari Taitzik, the Bais Yosef bring to see, but the Bais Yosef argues with him. The Mari Taitzik says that even if it goes through a kli, if you have a shuka on one side and you have a shuka on the other side, so take away the idea that you have a kli and it's kosher." The Machaber zut mishas. The Machaber sif ches, "Main shivira gabakayle vechitzelo is posel." You can't be mitzar. So I said, maybe we can use the Mari Taitzik for a heter. He says, no way. And he stopped me from doing that. So this is now the other thing that we discussed. We discussed about the Nuar, right? And we also discussed about even Amayin, the some that have Mayim Chaim or not. Lamaisa for Aisha Zuva, even the shittas that hold that she needs Mayim Chaim, right? We don't pass them like that, but we have to think about it. I mean, this is something that the Kohen Gadol should do, that if you have a Mayim, which is not Mayim Chaim, you learn the Mishnah is important, Mishnah is Parik Zayim, Parik Vuv, Parik Zayim, what would the Bach hold in that case? The word is you need a Mayim or you need Mayim Chaim. That's something that I give you homework. I did a lot of homework on it, but this is something you should check out. Now, the other thing is we're going to get to, and that's the last thing, is called Mai Geshumim. Mai Geshumim is, it's a very interesting concept. Mai Geshumim is the weakest of all, meaning to say it has so many psulim and everything. Lamush Mai Mayan, it can be Zoichum. Mai Geshumim has to be contained. And Mai Geshumim, Mai Mayan, in Ishayach, Nusen Suva Nutlusu. Why? Because Al Rishonim and Amazbir, you don't have enough water to put in that you should overpower the tributaries where the well is coming from. See, the well is not what you see, the 40 soup. The well is connected and interconnected to all other waters. So how can you overpower that with putting in a little, city water? Is Lamaisa, you can't overpower it. So it's an interesting thing. The Machaber brings, you take a look in Sif Mem Vuv, in Sif Mem Zan, the Machaber brings a Shita Sarosh. If you have a well and it doesn't produce enough water, you're allowed to put it on one side, Sheuvim, and the whole well becomes kosher. That's where all the Rishonim explain why. I have here a picture of it, how you can make a well. You can have a dead well and you can rise it up. You put in a little water in the side. Here you can pass it around. And then what happens is that as time goes by, the well starts to connect to tributaries, and all of a sudden it lives up. And this is the machaber in Sif Mem Zayin. So you can't overpower a well. So a well, you can put in as much shuvim as you want. Except if it's contained in one place, then we'll see Shemdu Agamza, Machloikis, and the Rishoinim, so that can do Huadir Ptsudik, not from Sheruvi Alazachlan. But that's only when it's not. When it,
Let's discuss a little bit about the shear of Zochlin, what's called Zochlin. Say someone's a Rav in a community and he sees the mikveh as something, you know, what would be the general guidelines
Okay, let's put it this way. In Zochlin, there are so many different shittas that some people hold that you look at the missing water in the mikveh.
Yeah, because you have to realize, Rabbi, say the Rashba quoted in Mechaber says that tzchila is only a psul if it's tzchila hanikeres.
Right. So why are we so machmir?
One second. If it's not tzchila hanikeres, so then, in other words, it has to be noticeable. That's the Rashba here. You can look on page 20, 21 here. It has to be a tzchila hanikeres. So the question that has to be understood is, what's called, here you have here on page 23, Sif Nun Aleph, Nikev HaMikvah Meimav Notfim, Ma'at Ma'at, if it's just dripping a little bit, on Nivloin Bekarka, Ma'at Ma'at Kosher, Lefish Ein Zechilosan Nikeres. Because it's not a Zechila HaNikeres.
So why this, are we so much?
Right, 1 second. So let's discuss what you think, the Ikashita, the Halacha, of what the Zechila HaNikeres, then you, maybe you can tell them about Jonas and Steif and others, but let's...
We are Machmer only because of the Vilna Gaon, even though we're Hasidim, but we respect the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon holds on this Rashba, if you take a look here in Shulchan Aruch, the Vilna Gaon says that even Zechila She'ayna Nikeres Pasos HaMikrim in HaTorah. It's right there, the group.
Yeah.
That's why we're very much Machmer, because we can't...
I put the arrow by the grother. If you look, page 23.
It says that even She'ayna Nikeres, so that what that theoretically means, that it's Mamish, you know, it's hard to find, today, with all the different...
So let's discuss first what the Iker Adin of what Tchila
HaNikeres is. The Iker Adin, the way the Rabbonim, the Gedoyle Ingen are shriven, that you look at the water itself, and if it's missing one fist, which is 4 centimeters, they write, 4 centimeters is, 10 centimeters, which is 4 inches. If it's missing this kind of amount of water,
in how long?
In 24 hours. We check it 24 hours. Now, you have to bear in mind so many things. Every woman that goes in takes out a little water, okay? In the mikveh, where there's one mikveh that I help running, they have to fill it up with 6 inches above, because there's maybe close to 100 toivlus, and it's missing about 4 inches every day. So, because there's a lot of toivlus. So we have to take that in consideration. We have to take another thing in consideration. When you heat the water up, the vapor goes up, and once the vapor goes up, it loses water. That's where you see the water going in the air. So there's so many different factors that we have to, you know, consider. Once we considered all the facts and we see that it loses more than that, that's when we buy a certain dye. There's a blue dye that we buy. We throw it into the water. And wherever the hole is, the whole dye is going to follow that hole. Why? Because it's leaking, right? So the dye is much heavier than the water, so the water pulls it, and we find out where the crack is. Once we find the crack, there's so many different poxies today, we can make mikvahs just like the Gru wants. Not even a tip achas it shouldn't lose. We're capable today of doing this. Beside of which, we have special cement that we poured the mikvahs originally, so there's really no problem. So basically, the sheet is 4 inches in 24 hours. That's what the Rabbonim, whatever, made up noch the Gedoyle Ingen before. I, as a rule, when I come to a mikveh to be boydig, I can't always be there the whole night to be boydig, because if women are going to start using it at night, so where am I going to get my 24 hours? So I have a set rule. If a mikveh doesn't really lose a fraction, an inch, even up to 2 inches, in 12 hours, in 24 hours, it's not going to lose more. In other words, there's no reason for the 24 hours. So I usually avoid it from, I try to get the mikveh very early in the morning, and let's say 5, 6 o'clock, you know, we have to be out of the mikveh. If everything went good from let's say that in these 10, 12 hours, I would consider that it's good. Now, there's another very important thing that I want to discuss with you, since you're the future of Klal Yisroel, you're a different generation. Every halucha has its schwachkeiten, which means that you have to be very careful. One of the things in mikvus, which is a very, very big psul, is a mikveh has to be kavua bakarka. If it's not kavua bakarka, then it's not kosher. What makes a difference, a vessel or a cement box? Why is this kosher and why can't you toivel in a vessel?
Right. In other words, the din of mayim she'uvim is when you had water in a kli, and now it's not in a kli. So that's a psul mayim she'uvim. But then there's a separate psul. Somebody recently asked me, they have a garbage can, and it rained, and it's full of water. And say it would be theoretically memsah. So they want to know, could they be tovel kelim that? So that's a psul d'oraisa l'choladeus, because it has to be mayim bakarka. If it's mayim bekeli, b'shasta tefila, that's even a worse psul than mayim she'uvim. Mayim she'uvim is a discussion whether it's a d'oraisa or the rabbanon. But if the tefila is in the kli, then that's a psul d'oraisa l'kuli alma.
The whole mayim she'uvim that the Chazal bought goizer is because they were afraid they shouldn't tovel in the kli. So why is a mikra called a kli? Not called a kli. Why? Why are you allowed to toivel? The answer is, there's such a thing which is called derech binyan. Derech binyan means like this. When you take a cement truck and it turns the cement, it's not a kli, right? When you pour it on the floor in your kevaya bekarke, so you're starting to build it derech binyan without it being a kli. When you finished with it, because it was mechubet the whole time, that's called derech binyan, and it's not called a kli. So that's the difference between a kli and the cement work of whatever. Now, theoretically, if you were to take pieces of wood in the kevaya bakarke and build around on the floor and all around and make a mikvah of wood, it would also be kosher. There's no problem, because it's built derech binyan. In other words, there was never a time not being connected to the ground where it contained anything. Okay? Now, the modern problem in building today is that what we do is, we try to make everything waterproof. I'll pass around some of these things. You can see all these things are built. You can see this. You see the wall is waterproof. You see that? It has no chibur. Take a look at this one. On the floor, the contractor puts on a special plastic barrier so no water comes in from the ground. And all these things are considered toolish. It's considered that it doesn't have a chibur l'karka. So you can make a whole mikveh and the whole building can be toolish min hakarka. It's toolish. You have a wall over there where you have a barrier, you know, a vapor barrier. You're going to connect pipes to that, you know, tzinoiris, and everything is betolish. And this is the biggest problem. I built a very, very big mikveh. And the guy who wanted to get the job told me that 30 years ago he built a mikveh and it's not leaking until today. It's still good. And I said, how did you do it? I have to know, you know, maybe there's halachic problems with it. So he said, very simple. What I did is I made an outside cradle. Okay. And then I took tar paper and I put it around, and inside I poured the mikveh and the bar like this. So I told him, if you did it this way, you are disconnecting the inside from the ground. And I showed him Zdachiva Minchas Yitzchak that this is an ambete gedoyle v'kekayle batulish. And not only that, I found another poisik 100 years ago. His name is the Ryugel Yankov. His sorum is here in the library. And somebody in Hungarian told also for the man that because there's leakage, you know, coming in, they should put tar. He says, if you do it that way, the mikveh is poslitz akele betolish. And this mikveh was used over 30 years when I found out about this, because we built the second mikveh ready. So the one was the Rav Amachshir. He didn't realize it. And he said that he's going to destroy the mikveh, which he did, and he rebuilt a new mikveh on the old place from the old mikveh. This is one of the biggest klolos in inyan mikvos. Why? 90% all governments today mandatory, they say it's mandatory to put their plastic barriers. If you ever go in a building site, you can see they put plastics on the floor. That's made so water doesn't come in from the bottom. That thing takes it off in karka oil. I did once a mikveh. Yep.
Sorry, I don't understand. There's just like a plastic bag.
It's not a bag. It's rolls of plastic. It's basically, it's not a plastic. It's a special whatever, but it looks like plastic. They roll it on onto the floor. No.
Separate.
That's not the problem. It separates it from karka. You don't have a chibur le karka. Theoretically, you can come with the crane. You can take it away. You can take it away. It doesn't have a chibur. And this is a very big problem. And because of it, I always say that which means if you first made the chakik and then you were kaveya, it's possible. If you were first kaveya and then you make the chakik, it's kosher. When you see the tzinner laying on the wall, you see the difference? You don't see the difference. You don't know when the chakik became after or before. The same is here. You don't even see it anymore. Once it's poured, you don't even see it. And this is a very, very one of the hardest parts. Now, I did a mikveh in Florida a few years ago, and I decided that I figured they have to make those things because it's next to the ocean. They don't want the water from the ocean to come in. When the water rises, it can come in. So it was mandatory to make it. I figured, so what's the big deal? So I took a knife in my pocket, and after we were ready to pour, after everything was in place, I went down there and I cut open a hole of about a foot by a foot. And I took some steel spikes and I connected it. So this way, the whole thing is mechibel abinyan, at least on one place. So what do you think? Before they pour, the inspector comes along and he sees it. He stopped it. We had to throw out the truck. We went to court. I went to court. I said, it's against religion. He says, Rabbi, you work it out yourself. We ain't letting you do it. So Lamaisa, what I had to do is, from the outside of the building, let's say this is the building. This is the building in Florida. From outside of the building, which over there they have no laws because they don't care, I had to dig in a very big hole and fill it up with steel rebars and cement and come above the mikveh here because of the fact they don't want any holes on the bottom. And I connected it to the cement here. Okay? And then I was able to do it. Now here again, if I was to do this after I poured this, that's called Hakakoy Lebesav Kavoy. I had to make sure that all this was done a day before, and then I was able to do it further. Okay. So,
but before we answer today, yeah, let's just discuss very briefly the Ravid about Silonos Kfufim.
Oh.
That there's a, I remember a couple of years ago there was a big tumult in Flatbush in a certain mikveh that wasn't one of the major mikvahs, but it was like the mikvah people use Friday night or whatever, that, mikvah you have to use make shamim. So usually what they do is it's collected under the rooftop, and then there's a pipe that it goes down the pipe and goes into the mikvah. And usually they have pipes that are not bent. In other words, one straight pipe. And the Ravid seems to say if the pipe is bent, like an L shape, so that would be a problem of potential base kibul, and it would be a whole discussion. So this particular mikveh was not just a straight pipe like many mikvahs had.
Yeah, this is a mikveh. I'll pass it.
And
this is the right one.
Right. Yeah. You see, he has a picture of a pipe. So so there was a whole discussion about that. Rivet in terms of that mikveh. So maybe very bekitzer.
Very bekitzer.
And then we'll do
Asil nakuf of kolshi, that Rivet holds that it's possible. Why? It's very easy to understand why. If you have a cup and you put in water, right? It's shuvim, right? What happens if you hold this cup sideways? It just can't contain any water. what would you say? It's kosher or not? So this is the Ravid. The Ravid holds that even now it does not contain any water because it's a base kibul. But you're holding it shaloi kederech kabula, does not give it the privilege that it's not a kli. That's the shittas Ravid. Now the Ravid holds that any you can see there there's a mikveh. This is an existing mikveh which I changed the lemaisa the pipes. The Ravid holds that if any pipe is bent, let's say it's bent this way, right? Even though it's not holding any water. Give me this for a second, let me make a drawing. Let's say the pipe is bent this way, right? Can it hold now any water? No. So the Ravid says, but because you can turn it around, that it should stand this way, so therefore it's considered the kli. You just have a hetter that it's shloi kederech kabula. So now, the way... in the olden times, you can see some old mikvahs. What the Rav used to do is he used to make a hole over here. If he made a hole over here, then he avoided the whole thing because the kli had already a hole. So even if you turn it wherever, it's not going to hold water.
The hole has to be on the other side.
On both. He made it right here and right here. That's the way it used to be. Sidu achroinim zazug that it should be done that way. But I hear from Pupuru Fasachmul that it's not a good idea, and he claims a very interesting concept. Let's say you make the hole right here, right? Okay? Now, according to the Ravid that you can turn it, so it's going to hold right here, right? So you made the hole here, it can. If the water is, you can turn it, so it says then you have to cut out the whole thing here and the whole thing here, and then the water runs away. So the Puparuf said you should never do it that way. But anyway, now in a modern society, I can bring you water from any roof with 16 bends and not one silna kufif. How do we do it? Watch this. This is how we do it today, modern society. What we do is, this is the roof, I'm gathering the water, right? I have to bring it down all the way. So what I do is, I start off with the 2-inch pipe, then I go over with the 3-inch pipe, then I go over with the 4-inch pipe. So basically, it's not kufif, right? There's no inside, there's no bellies or anything. Now, how do I come from here to here? What I do is, go like this. I cut in here a small piece, like this. And let's say this is 2-inch. This is a 1.5-inch. I bring this pipe in all the way till here. Like this.
So because instead of having one piece, you do it...
Yeah, but the vort is that this and this is never connected. Right. They don't know each other. And it's separate.
Right, instead of doing one...
It's not going like this. Now, I want to tell you an interesting thing. Rav Moshe in the Chivas writes as a silna kufif is kosher. He explains it's okay. Rav Duva told me, I read it 10 years ago, the mikveh in the Lower East Side, Rav Duva told me, quote, my father did not want to rent out 6 floors because he had a pipe coming down from the roof till the mikveh. So, your father writes that it's kosher. He says, that's what he writes for the world, but for him, he was machmer. So I told Rav Duvit, how about I'll make you the water will come in into the building without the silna kufif. She says, how are you going to do it? I showed her. When the water comes down from the top, we're going to take it down like this with these pieces. And from in the building, when it comes in, it goes the same way. Let's say this is a 3-inch pipe. You take a 4-inch pipe like this, and you cut in into the pipe. You know, you drill in into the pipe. You make a hole. So now the water is going to run only here. It won't run back because I leave myself about 6 inches out this way. And this way it runs in right into the mikveh. And he was so happy they rented 6.
So this is one or two? What is this?
This is a few. It's just like saying, that. Right. It's the same thing.
But it gets to the
he was wondering how it goes in above the mikveh.
That's bent. He used different pieces and you drill in there and you connect
and
you this way it's
you drill in here
well, because
hole.
The point is
so
in other words the water is going to come on the roof but you got to get it to the side of the building
correct.
To
you
go down
to the right.
So the easiest way is to take a pipe that's bent and this way it'll go down but the right of it is machmer in that. So what he did is he takes 2 pipes and goes into one is vertical, one is horizontal and it'll go in. And this way, there's
like
no
this.
One pipe that's a C1 hakofuf, because you have multiple pipes.
Right.
And one pipe is vertical, the other is horizontal, so that gets it from the top of the roof to the side, and then it goes.
And just a few small things. You make it here on a slant, so the water doesn't spritz back. You go in a little more with this. And over here is the same thing. You make this a little higher, so the water will go, won't flow back. It just goes in.
Okay. Okay, Rabbi, so we thank Rabbi Rosenberg for joining us today. Sure. Bez Hashem, next week we're going to discuss the different ways of doing Hashukah. The sheets that I have here in the packet. And,
Correct. Okay. Thank you.
We'll have a mincha right here in a minute.
I put this here. Use the bathroom. Well, that's